5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Apologies for the late episode. Between my allergies and almost dying in a car accident today, my voice isn't 100%, but everybody on the Odd Trails Discord seemed to think it sounded great with the rasp, so I'm taking your word for it. I hope you're just not impatient. All right, here we go. Amanda is Angry by Ash Abraxas. When I was in elementary school, I'm almost 20 now, I spent months begging for an American Girl doll for Christmas. I wanted one so badly. And when Christmas finally came, my parents got me a look-alike version. I was thrilled. In my 8-year-old brain, it made perfect sense to name her Amanda, because my name also starts with an A. Everything was great for a while. Amanda and I were inseparable. But then Halloween came around the next year, and everything changed. I was watching R.L. Stine's The Haunting Hour on TV, and the episode playing was about a homicidal look-alike doll. As you can imagine, it planted some ideas in my head, and suddenly, Amanda didn't feel so innocent anymore. I couldn't shake the unease. I stopped playing with her and shoved her into my closet. That's when things got weird. A few nights after Amanda was exiled to the closet, I woke up in the middle of the night. There was this electric, shooting pain in my left leg, sharp enough to jolt me awake. I sat up, confused, and that's when I saw her. Amanda was standing at the foot of my bed, staring at me. The closet door was open, just enough to make me realize she'd come from inside. I wanted to move, to get up, run to my parents' room, but I couldn't. My whole body was frozen, paralyzed, no matter how hard I tried to force myself to move. I was terrified. So I did what any kid would do. I flung myself back down, pulling the blanket over my head like it was a shield. I stayed like that, my heart pounding, until I somehow fell asleep after trying every grounding exercise my little brain could come up with. When morning came, I forced myself to look. Amanda wasn't at the foot of my bed anymore. She was lying on the floor, sprawled out like a discarded toy. I picked her up. I can't remember if it was by her arm or her hair, and shoved her back into the closet, slamming the door shut. As soon as I could, I confronted my siblings. "Did you guys move Amanda last night to mess with me?" I asked. But their reactions made my blood run cold. "Ew, no," one of them said. "We're scared of her. We don't want to touch that thing." After that, I told my parents. They dismissed it as sleep paralysis or just a nightmare brought on by watching too much TV. But I knew what I saw. I couldn't keep Amanda in the house after that, so eventually we sold her to another family. And honestly, good luck to them. She's their problem now. Even now, over 10 years later, I think about that night. Was it just a nightmare? A trick of my mind? Or was there something truly sinister going on? For my own sanity, I tell myself I'm not crazy. That it was the house I lived in, a place where other strange things happened, that was haunted. That's the only explanation I'm willing to believe. But Amanda, she's not welcome back in my life. Ever.
Something's Knocking on Our Bedroom Door at Night by Lemons Bombs. This happened just a few nights ago. My fiancé and I were heading to bed at around 10 or 11 p.m. Our bedroom is in the basement and our roommate lives upstairs. His schedule is opposite of ours, so we've become accustomed to him knocking on our door later at night if he needs anything. We were having our final conversations before drifting off, when we heard a familiar knock at the door. "Come in," I said, since we were all pretty close, and he knows that he's welcome. No one stepped through the door, so I said again, "Come in." Still nothing. We called his name, and when there was no response, I got up to open the door. There was nobody there. "Huh," I said, as we joked briefly about how it must have been the ghost. Now for context, we've had some other weird experiences in this old house, but nothing as strange as what happened that night. After laughing it off, we went to bed. My fiancé fell asleep quickly, but I started to drift off more slowly. As I was falling asleep, I heard another knock. This time, it didn't wake my fiancé, so I didn't say anything. Instead, I got up to investigate the basement. Maybe the cat was being mischievous, or perhaps it was something settling. The knock sounded similar in tempo to the first time, so I wondered if it could be the pipes adjusting to the winter temperatures. That thought comforted me for just a moment, but I couldn't shake the feeling that the noise was the distinct sound of knuckles rapping against our door. I know what creeping pipes sound like. It wasn't that, nor had the pipes ever made noises like this during previous winters. Still, I decided it wasn't a big deal, and I went back to bed. This time I managed to fall asleep, and about 30 minutes later, the knocking started again. Three knocks. It was the same unmistakable sound of knuckles on the wood coming from our door. The pattern, the tempo, and the hollow sound of the door were all too familiar. It wasn't coming from the walls, it wasn't coming from the ceiling, and I know that it was not coming from the laundry room. Our door is so thick that we never hear any sounds from out there. I tried to convince myself it was nothing and went back to sleep. But every 30 minutes to an hour, the knocking came back. Each time the knocking pattern changed, though. Sometimes it was a deliberate two knocks. Other times, it was rapid knocking. Once, it even mimicked the rhythm of shave and a haircut, I tried ignoring it, but just as I'd start to fall asleep again, the knocks would jostle me awake. I lost track of time until I was jolted awake by a knock, followed by a male voice saying, "Hey." This time, I was sure it had to be our roommate, so I got up and opened the door. Once again, nobody was there. I thought that he might be messing with us, so I put on some clothes, and I walked upstairs to find him. The house was pitch black, and our roommate wasn't even home. He was still at work. That realization sent chills down my spine. I checked the front door to see if someone had been knocking there, but it was all silent. The dog hadn't even reacted at all. If there had been someone outside, that dog would be barking like crazy. I was officially creeped out. I forced myself to go back to bed, trying to rationalize that maybe the pipes weren't just knocking, but somehow creaking in a way that sounded like a voice. The knocking continued throughout the night, but eventually I got used to it and managed to get a few hours of sleep. At around 7 a.m., my fiancé and I both leapt out of bed after hearing another unmistakable, "Hey!" from outside the room. This time, she woke up too. I opened the door again and found nothing. I explained to her that I had been dealing with the knocking all night long, and we both agreed this was unsettling. Later that day, when our roommate came home, we asked him if he had been trying to talk to us the previous night. He confirmed that he hadn't come home at all and had stayed at a friend's house. I told him about what happened, and he was as baffled as we were. As I mentioned earlier, we waited a few more nights to see if the noises would return. Even as the house warmed and cooled with the changing temperatures, there have been no strange sounds since. In general, we're fans of paranormal stories, but I always err on the side of skepticism. This, however, was the weirdest thing to happen in this house, and I still can't figure out what it could have been, if not some genuine high strangeness.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Shadow Ranch Park by Kay. When my mother was still in my life, she would often recount strange things that surrounded me as a child. She would often say that she thinks that I am what is referred to as a conductor, someone who can, in whatever odd ways, encourage spirits to come forth from their shadowy corners and dwellings. My grandma, on my mother's side, would often tell the family that I have the gift. To this day, I am still unsure what any of these things mean, but throughout my life, I have had a number of odd, creepy, eerie experiences that I simply can't explain. This first story is secondhand from my mother. It's a story she would tell to prove her point. We used to live near a small park that, at one point, had been a farm and ranch for the local neighborhood. It was built in 1869 and functioned as a ranch until the early 60s. By the 70s, the ranch was transitioned into the neighborhood park it is today. Because the plot of land has been around for so long, it obviously comes with some baggage. My mother, sister, and I would frequent this park when I was very young. One day, I was playing in the field when a man approached me and tried to take me. My mother and sister saw this from afar and ran to get me before anything bad could happen. Before they got there, they saw a woman in a long brown dress grab me, pick me up, and walk me toward them as they ran. She sat me down on a nearby bench as they were approaching, and then vanished before their eyes. I was 3 years old at the time, so I don't remember any of this. However, it would not be the last time I would see this woman in the many years I spent frequenting that park. Fast forward to when I was 10 or 11. I was walking home from school. We had just moved, and I absolutely should not have been walking alone at that time. But this is what happens when you're a latchkey kid. Naturally, I got lost. I knew where the park was, so I headed there in what I now recognize as an attempt to get my bearings. It was a hot day. I remember that very clearly. I stopped in the shade of the house at the park, drank some water from the fountains, and sat down, leaning against the house. The park was eerily quiet that day. As I sat there, trying to figure out how to get to our new apartment, a woman in a long, older-style brown dress approached me and asked if I was okay. I nodded silently. She asked me if I was lost. Again, I nodded. She took my hand. Her hand was impossibly cold. She led me to the other side of the house and pointed toward the street I needed to head down. "Do you see that street there? Head toward it and make a right at the first major stop, and you'll be on your way home." I squeaked out a thank you and scooted along. She had indeed pointed me in the direction of where we had just moved. When I told my mother and sister about this later that day, my mother went pale. She wouldn't speak of it again for years. Fast forward a few more years, and I'm at this park at the age of 17 with some friends. My friends J, N, and R were all there with me. R was a believer, while J and N were not so much. It was late at night, and we were just hanging out like teenagers do. I mentioned to my friends that this park was haunted and told them that there was a woman's ghost who lived there. I recounted the story from when I was around 11 years old. Being the snarky teens that we were, J and R walked up to the house and started calling for the lady of the house to come out and show herself. I chided them for being rude, and as I did so, the lights in the upstairs of the house turned on, and the outer shutters started slamming shut over and over again. There was no possible way those shutters could have been controlled by anything. They were on the second floor, and the building was from the 1800s. I told them to apologize immediately, and they did. I looked up at the house and apologized as well. That's when we all saw it, clear as crystal, a woman's silhouette in the window. There she was, standing there, watching us. Then the lights went out, not just in the house, but in the entire park. We all left the park quickly. As we did, I told them that their behavior was uncalled for. They muttered apologies and started comparing notes. I don't talk to any of these people anymore, But this story would continue to get brought up in our friend group for years.
I drove through a glitch in the matrix by username checks out. About 4 months ago, my mom had knee replacement surgery, and they sent her home the next day. After 3 days, her leg became red and significantly more swollen. She had a fever, so we decided to head back to the hospital. It was around 10 p.m., and it was dark. I was driving, my mom was in the passenger seat, and my 12-year-old daughter was sitting in the middle seat in the back. We live in a rural area, and after driving about 10 miles, we hadn't passed a single other vehicle. Yeah, it's that rural. There's a stretch of highway near us with a few really tight curves marked with a 30-mile-per-hour reduced speed limit sign. It's a yellow metal sign, no flashing lights and no other warnings. The area has a creek on one side and a steep cliff on the other. So there's no shoulder, no driveways, and nowhere for another car to be except on the road. After the first curve, all of a sudden, a bright blue light flashed through the car. I saw the light reflected on the trees in front of me and the door mirror when I glanced back. Then it was gone. It looked kind of like cop lights, but there was no red, and there were no headlights behind us. The flash lasted for just 1 second, and there was no sound. There were no other cars ahead of us or behind us, and we were only going 30 miles per hour. All three of us saw the same exact thing. It really freaked me out because I'm a very logical, rational person. This is the only experience I've had in my whole life that I can't explain. To add another layer of eeriness, there are two wooden crosses beside the road at that spot. They mark the location of a tragic accident where a tractor trailer crashed, killing two people. I remember that accident clearly because it tore up the highway when the semi jackknifed, and the section had to be repaved. I don't believe in ghosts, aliens, or anything paranormal. If my mom and daughter hadn't also seen this, I would have been convinced that I was imagining things or probably never mentioned it to anyone, but they both saw it too and their reactions mirrored mine. So here's my theory. We drove through some kind of glitch in the matrix and saw the emergency lights from that accident years ago. As crazy as that seems, it makes just as much sense as anything else that I can think of. What do you guys think? Has this happened to anyone else?
Realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Spider Story by Christian. This story begins with a coincidence, or at least that's how it felt at the time. It was the summer of 2017, and I ran into a close family friend on a busy street in Baltimore. After catching up, he mentioned an upcoming trip to Jamaica, an annual getaway our families and mutual friends took. he said a friend of his had canceled and invited me to join. Naturally, I jumped at the chance. 2 days before the trip, I had a strange dream. I was flying over unfamiliar land with wings made of ice, which melted as I landed on a large white building. Inside, there was a fancy dinner party. Guests were dressed to the nines, sipping cocktails, and being served by staff dressed in stark white uniforms, moving silently. It was unsettling. I left the building and found myself on a beach with a giant, life-sized chessboard. The dream ended shortly after. I told my girlfriend about it, but I didn't think much of it. Soon after, I headed back to Baltimore and flew to Jamaica. That's when things got weird. When we arrived, we were taken to a vacation villa, complete with tennis courts, a golf course, and a life-size chessboard on the beach. The moment I saw it, something clicked. I remember riding by it in a cart, thinking, huh, that's strange. The villa itself was a large, open colonial-style building, stark white, almost exactly like the one in my dream. Before the trip, we'd filled out preference sheets, favorite snacks, drinks, music, and any allergies. That's ironic. What I didn't know was that this information was given to an all-Jamaican staff who worked on site. They wore all-white uniforms, just like the staff in my dream. At first, I brushed it off. The villa was beautiful, the staff were welcoming, and the food and drinks were incredible. I figured the similarities were a coincidence. But as the trip went on, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. The week flew by, and soon it was the last night of the trip. That's when my experience took a turn into the unexplainable. Around 2 a.m., I was getting ready for bed when I decided to grab one last drink. The dining room was an indoor-outdoor space with a central table and a few side tables for drinks. The house was stark white, and with no light pollution, the moonlight poured in, illuminating the open space. As I poured myself a glass of punch, I turned to leave and caught something out of the corner of my eye. On the ceiling, there was a silhouette. A massive spider. It was about 4 feet across, its shape resembling a jumping spider or tarantula, but without the long legs or fuzzy hair. I froze, staring at it for what felt like an eternity, though it couldn't have been more than a few seconds. And here's the strangest part. Instead of panicking, I felt an overwhelming sense of calm. Like something was telling me, keep walking, don't react. I listened. I walked out of the dining room, as though nothing bad had happened. But the moment I got back to my room, I locked the doors and windows, shoved a towel under the doorframe, and didn't sleep for the rest of the night. The next morning, I went straight to the dining area. The ceiling was completely bare. There was no sign of the spider, or whatever I saw. I didn't mention it to anyone except my girlfriend, who reminded me of the dream I told her about before the trip. The whole thing felt like something out of a Twilight Zone episode. If you have seen the one called A Traveler, there's a moment where someone catches a glimpse of an alien's true form and simply walks away. It was like that, calm, but deeply unsettling. Over the years, I've told the story to close friends and my partner, but no one can fully wrap their head around it. I've searched for any explanation, looking up the largest spiders in the world, in the Caribbean, even in folklore, but nothing compares to what I saw. In the end, I've convinced myself of one thing. I caught it either sneaking in or sneaking out, and it was just as surprised to see me as I was to see it. But the more I think about it, the strangest part isn't the spider, it's the dream. How did I dream about this place? A place I'd never been before ever arriving. That's the part that keeps me wondering if it was all just a coincidence or something more.
I Fell in Love in a Dream by Fearlessly Silly. I tend to have very vivid dreams that feel like they go on for quite a while in real time. Sometimes I wake up feeling whatever feeling I was experiencing in the dream, and it's palpable. I've even woke up screaming, crying, laughing, panicking, or in complete bliss. The emotions are so intense that they linger even after waking. Sometimes these feelings only last a few minutes after I wake up, but sometimes they affect me throughout the day. However, most of the time, I forget what the dream was even about. However, a few nights ago, I had a dream that left me completely shaken. In the dream, I fell in love with someone that I had never seen before. The whole dream took place in a massive house that felt more like a shop than any kind of lived-in home. It was old but brightly colored, with books, candles, tchotchkes, and other various items that gave it the vibe of a new age store. There was a huge backyard, and I vividly remember watching my dogs run around outside. The setting is etched into my memory with such clarity. I can't recall the specific details of the people in the dream, but I do remember the feelings vividly. There was a woman there who I was deeply drawn to, and a man who was interested in me. But I didn't feel the same way about him. I remember the woman mistakenly assuming that I was interested in the man. She seemed disappointed but kind about it, and then she left. I ran after her and told her that she was the one I wanted to be with. She smiled and said that she wanted the same. The story details are fuzzy, but it felt like a lifetime unfolded in that dream. I experienced this deep, overwhelming love for her. When I woke up, I felt desperate to return to that dream, to return to her. I had this deep ache in my chest, an almost unbearable longing. But the strangest thing is that I can't even remember what she looked like. While certain details of the dream are clear to me, her appearance is a complete blank. All I can remember is how we felt about each other and how those feelings still linger strongly. I've had many dreams in my life that involved romantic and even sexual feelings, usually with someone I know, but sometimes with strangers. Yet I can't think of another time when a dream left such an emotional impact. Days have passed, and I still find myself thinking about her and missing someone that I don't even know. Maybe I do know her. Somewhere else? Is that even possible? The Night That Turned to Day by Charger Pool. I'll never forget that night. It's etched into my memory as one of the most surreal experiences of my life. It was about 10 years ago. A friend and I were driving through the vast, empty stretches of Saskatchewan. We were making our way from Winnipeg to Vancouver. It was around 11:30, maybe midnight, and the darkness was absolute. The stars barely cut through the sky, and our headlights seemed to disappear into the blackness ahead. It was as ordinary as a midnight drive could be, with nothing but the hum of the road and kilometers of fields on either side. But then, in a split second, everything changed. Out of nowhere, the night was replaced by the brightest of broad daylight. It wasn't a distant glow or flash, but full, high noon daylight. The sky turned blue, and we even saw fields stretching for kilometers in every direction, clear as if it were the middle of the day. It was as if the universe had flipped a switch, casting sunlight over the land for a few seconds, then snatching it back. My friend and I were stunned, almost frozen, glancing at each other to confirm that we were both witnessing this impossible phenomenon. The whole thing lasted maybe 5 seconds before the darkness closed in around us again. Over the next few days, we searched every corner of the internet, desperate for any explanation, maybe a massive explosion or some kind of unknown atmospheric event. But there was nothing, no reports, no clues, and no theories. To this day, my friend and I still talk about it, wondering what in the world we saw that night. It remains one of the most mysterious, unexplainable events of my life, like a forgotten memory of a dream that no one else could ever believe.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So that story by Kay with the woman in the brown dress, that was just wild.
I know, lots of hallmarks of a good spooky story. I'm sure some people will say that it was fake, but I don't know. It just checked a lot of boxes. I still think it was legitimate.
Yeah, I get that. The language didn't come off as too fictiony to me, at least.
Right, and nothing I could find indicates that it was a blatant urban legend, so I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I just really want some backstory about that park. Is it actually called Shadow Ranch Park, you know?
So, yeah, during my brief little dig, I found that it's around the LA area, and people do talk about it being haunted. At least one person mentioned seeing a little boy that roams around or something like that.
Maybe the woman in the brown dress is his mother.
Oh, yeah. Could explain why she was so protective over Kay.
Yeah. I was thinking that she could have been her personal guardian angel or something like that. But knowing that the park has some history, maybe she's just tied to the park, but still acted like as a guardian.
Yeah, it's definitely plausible. And the whole conductor thing and having a gift, maybe she was a magnet for the woman in the brown dress to make an appearance.
Yeah, I like the conductor idea. Like she's the head of some ghost orchestra.
Yeah, apparently they show up to open mic night too, because she did say that she has more stories. I'm anxiously awaiting more, but we shall see.
Yeah.
That is super cool though, how the woman practically saved her life twice.
Yeah, and that's what gets me. She wasn't just a spooky background character. She was helpful.
Exactly. You know, the imagery made me think of our cover art. If you look closely, there's a woman in the window of the haunted house.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, of all places to haunt, the woman in the brown dress picks a park.
or she's stuck there like some kind of spectral park ranger. Don't litter and don't provoke the ghosts.
Is there a smoky equivalent for littering?
I guess maybe Captain Planet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Woodsy Owl?
Yeah.
Give a hoot, don't pollute, or something like that. Anyway, back to the story.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how typical it was of those teenagers to disrespect that house.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, asking for trouble. Imagine taunting a ghost and then the entire park just goes dark.
Yeah, no, that's a total nope moment. They got what they had coming to them, at least. It makes me wonder, though, was she pissed off or just trying to prove she's still in charge, or maybe like a light warning?
Yeah, probably all of the above. I'd be mad, too, if a bunch of snarky kids were yelling at my house. You know, that's probably her turf.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know whose turf it used to be? One of the writers of the Wizard of Oz movie.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. I've been wanting to rewatch Return to Oz. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I finally watched that, like, for the first time last year. It was cool.
Yeah, really good.
Not as cool as driving through Saskatchewan at midnight, though.
Yeah, the story from Charger Pool. I mean, nothing good ever happens on a deserted road in the middle of nowhere at midnight. You're either running into ghosts, UFOs, or, in this case, random flashes of light.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. They describe it as 5 seconds of high noon brightness. What do you think it could have been?
Maybe an alien craft flipping on their high beams.
Whoops, wrong button.
Yeah.
Maybe a meteor burning up in the atmosphere or something. I'd even say some kind of military testing, perhaps.
Yeah.
Regardless, it seems pretty real because more than one person witnessed it. Corroborated stuff never fails to get me all excited.
Yeah.
To me, it just means that it couldn't have been just some kind of medical or neurological issue.
Yeah, it's like getting off of Pirates of the Caribbean and walking out of the ride on a sunny day.
Yeah, they do such a good job of making you think it's nighttime. I also want to figure out how they get it to smell the way that it does.
Yeah, it's so nostalgic. Well, I guess we can add this to our long list of strange events that we'll probably never understand on Odd Trails.
Exactly. I'll add it to the glitch in the Matrix pool.
Yeah. Just like our driving story from username checks out.
At first, I thought they were experiencing ball lightning, but it didn't fit the bill.
Yeah, it wasn't spherical and it didn't really linger around. It was just a quick flash.
It is kind of cool how two of your stories ended up connected by this weird flash of light.
Yeah, that wasn't planned. They just happened to be two stories that I picked off of the list and I immediately liked them.
I still like the theory of it being some kind of residual energy from that accident that happened on the road.
Yeah, like some kind of time loop and they caught a glimpse of, you know, emergency lights from a crashed vehicle from years ago.
Yeah, well, we'll do what we do best and go with the explanation that's most interesting, so let's stick with that.
Yeah, fair enough.
In a lemon sex bomb story, I couldn't help but chuckle when they referenced Shaving a Haircut. I haven't thought of the actual name of that tune since I watched Roger Rabbit.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack here, but we have to wait a minute. We'll get back to the Roger Rabbit thing, but I have to stand up and testify for a minute. I did not get the play on words with that username. I just thought that the X was to separate the words lemons and bombs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without the E in sex, I just thought that it was lemons bombs.
Oh, yeah. Or like how hardcore bands would do like X, Snake Eyes, X, which is a real band in Salt Lake City. Shout out. But it is kind of funny, the whole X thing. A lot of these usernames are pretty clever and funny. I'll admit I've definitely overlooked some of them as well.
Ah, man. Yeah. When I introduced the story, I didn't even say it right. So I'm sorry, Lemon Sex Bomb. But to be fair, if I did pronounce it right, I probably would have laughed during the recording.
Yeah. I like announcing the author and title of the story at the top of the stories, but it's sometimes hard not to laugh. It kind of sets a precedence and it's hard to take some of them seriously. But once you really get into the groove, it's easy to mature. And, you know, like when you know somebody that has like a really weird last name, you try to take them seriously, but not always the case.
Yeah. I often can't hold it in when I do the Let's Not Meet episodes, but I run through those at the end of the episodes like we used to do on Odd Trails. So anyways, let's get back to it. Shaving a Haircut.
Boop, boop.
Yes, I love that. And for those who aren't familiar, It's this scene from Roger Rabbit where Judge Doom comes into the bar where Roger Rabbit is hiding, and he starts knocking that shave and a haircut on the walls, like that, knowing that Toons can't resist the punchline. And obviously he's right, because Roger Rabbit bursts through the walls and sings, "Two bits."
I actually didn't know the name of that knocking pattern until I was like way older. Like I'm talking a few years ago, because it's hard to look that up. Either you ask somebody in person who is just like, "Oh yeah, shaving a haircut." But you can't exactly Google that.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the earliest known origin of that pattern, because I also looked it up, is this song from the 1890s. And, you know, it's obviously been replicated in music as well as comedy routines fairly often since then.
Yeah, yeah. I remember it from a lot of the old Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah, yeah. It fit in perfect with Roger Rabbit. It's kind of crazy that we lived through a time when Amblin, and I think Touchstone and Disney, they all came together to make a film noir that was also a comedy and also featured characters from both Warner Brothers and Disney. And it ended up being really good.
Yeah, I love it when mashups like that work out and you don't expect it, like Ninja Turtles and Batman. Like, what? That's so cool.
It was so good. I loved that one too.
Oh yeah, they hit it out of the park.
Yeah, it's a shame that it involved so many different companies and trademarks, because the licensing for Roger Rabbit's character just ended up being kind of in purgatory, where neither Disney or Warner Brothers were able to do much with him after the movie due to legal reasons.
GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64 suffered a similar fate for a really long time, but that's a story for another time, as they say. Yeah. But it makes sense. They'd basically need agreements from each of the entities involved to create a new project with the characters. Such a headache, and of course, there's always going to be that one person who doesn't want to play nice.
Yeah, exactly. But it does remain one of my top 10 movies of all time.
The ever-changing list.
Yeah, it all depends on my mood.
Yeah, mine too. I don't think it's fair to ever have like a dynamic top. Mm-hmm. Was it dynamic or static? Which one? Whatever. You know what I mean?
I think static. Yeah, yeah. Dynamic, I guess, would be a changing one.
Correct, correct.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry for trailing off, everyone. But you know, that old Disney stuff is my bread and butter.
Hey, don't be sorry. The disclaimer's in the name itself. It's Odd Trails for more than one reason.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, hearing a ghostly knock at your door, let's move on. That's creepy enough. But when it starts mimicking shave and a haircut, that's somehow a completely different level of disturbing.
Yeah, because it changes from being creepy and ominous and becoming more aware and almost sentient. It isn't just a disembodied sound, it's an entity that's almost mocking them.
Yeah, that sums it up perfectly, actually. I know we talk about the phenomena of being lulled back to sleep when something scary happens, and it's probably a defense mechanism in our brains to protect us from supernatural forces, which is just my theory. But I don't think I could fall back to sleep after such a deliberate knocking pattern, especially when it's right at my door.
Yeah, the knocking of a door has such a distinct sound in comparison to knocking on a wall or the sound of pipes in the winter.
Pipes also don't say hey or knock to the tune of a century-old song.
Yeah, yeah. I think the best thing to do in that situation would be to knock back, assert dominance.
Indeed, indeed. Well, that's a wrap on this week's episode of Odd Trails. If you have a creepy story you want to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. And make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radio Cast, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see y'all next week, everybody. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.